This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
John Malcolm is the vice president of the Institute for Constitutional Government at Heritage Foundation. And John, thank you for coming on the show. I'm really looking forward to you breaking down to, for us at least, what we heard yesterday from those two departments, what they do know about the Capitol riot so far.
Sure. Well, it's good to be with you, Annie. I mean, they are being inundated with tips. Some of these people, of course, were bragging about what they did. They took selfies and did interviews. You know, there was the guy with Nancy Pelosi's desk, obviously the guy with the helmet and the Viking horns, the fellow dragging away a podium. These are all people who have now been charged. You know, there have been, I think, roughly 70 people who have already been charged with one crime or another in a week. That's rather remarkable. The FBI's opened up over 170 cases, and they've received over 100,000 tips. And I'm sure that they are relying on every bit that they can get, people who are voluntarily coming forward, perhaps to lessen the likelihood that they will be charged, in order to cooperate about and say what other people inside that building were doing. I'm sure that they are looking at pictures and cameras and, you know, matching it up digitally to, you know, known images so that they can identify these individuals and interview them and, if necessary, charge them.
John, it seems like yesterday when we were listening to the press conference from the FBI, it sounded like they were talking about some things that would have had to have been premeditated. You know, if somebody's got a bomb, they didn't just happen to have that in their backpack and say, well, now that the president's speaking, let's put together this bomb. You know, are we finding that there were a lot of this? You know, it seems like a very mixed bag, that there might have been some things that were pre-planned and then some people who got caught up in the moment.
Well, look, let's begin by acknowledging what should be obvious, which is the vast majority of people who were on the Mall, you know, were there to voice their disapproval about what was going on, but they were not there to commit violent acts or to storm the Capitol. So, you know, to tar everybody who was involved in exercising their First Amendment rights in a peaceful fashion would be very, very unfair. But you are correct, is that there were pipe bombs that were discovered near, I believe, the Democratic National Committee and the Republican National Committee. And that was not a spur of the moment decision. You know, it takes quite a bit of planning and sophistication to put together a pipe bomb and to place it. And clearly a number of people who did enter the Capitol came with weapons, whether it was their intention at the beginning of that day to storm the Capitol or not, I don't know. But they certainly came prepared for some trouble, and they certainly fomented that trouble and are now quite possibly going to be in trouble.
We're speaking with John Malcolm, the vice president of the Institute for Constitutional Government at Heritage Foundation. You know, we see report after report of new arrests that are made or new people of interest that they're looking into. Is there a consistency, a thread that goes from one individual to the next regarding these folks who were participating in the riot that took place last week? Because there certainly is there are a lot of people on both sides of the aisle looking to brand the type of person that was in the Capitol building that day for political purposes, obviously. But what do we know? Is there a thread of consistency from one person to the next?
Well, the biggest consistency is that they were all inside the Capitol and they had not been invited in, and they were there to disrupt things. Anybody who was saying, oh, well, we just wanted to knock on the door and politely tell our congressman and senator how we felt about the matter, you know, that is a bunch of hogwash. They were there to riot and to disrupt the proceedings. Some of them may have gone in because, oh, gee, look, there's a smashed window. I think I'll wander in and walk around and see what I see just so that they could be part of the moment. They were fools, of course, for doing that, in addition to the fact that they were violating the law. And, you know, that is the commonality. You know, there have been some rumors that, oh, some of these people were in Antifa and there were plants. If there were any, they were certainly a very, very small minority. I mean, these were people who left their support of President Trump and their upset at the results or conduct of the election clearly get the best of them. And to engage in an act or series of conduct that continues to shock a week later and will certainly be in people's minds for a long, long time to come, in sort of the same way as 9/11 was. 9/11 resulted in 3,000 people being killed. I'm not comparing the magnitude of the harm done by those two events, but people going in and violently acting out inside, you know, the people's house was certainly something that we will never and should never forget.
We're on the phone with John Malcolm, Vice President of the Institute for Constitutional Government at Heritage. Let me ask you about that, John, because we've compared this. A lot of people have been doing the what about, you know, there's riots happening all summer. Is this, as far as the law goes and prosecuting these people, is it different because it was a governmental institution?
Yes, I'm. You know, look, both are terrible, and of course, the people who were rioting and looting and loss of life, and you know, was that we saw in many urban areas was despicable. So I'm not defending that. There are different laws that can apply. So the people, for instance, who are trying to break into the federal courthouse in Portland, can be charged with federal laws. But a lot of the laws that were being violated were state laws. There are potential federal charges crossing state lines to participate in a riot, et cetera, but mostly state law offenses. Here, this was federal property. They were breaking into federal property, and they were arguably engaged in, you know, trying to hinder or delay the execution of the certification of the vote, which might subject them actually to charges of sedition, which carry a very heavy penalty.
In your opinion, the way that this has been covered so far, so much of what Americans are consuming after an event like this is how the media chooses to present it. And the media has a responsibility to get to the bottom of truth and to relay that to the American people. And sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. Would you say, in the wake of what happened last week, that the media has done an adequate job of presenting facts, or do you see a lot of rhetoric that you've had to sift through in order to get to the bottom of what actually took place?
Oh, I'm not sure I can answer that question. I read the accounts that I read, and I certainly haven't been, I'm not one of those people that has like nine TVs, you know, screens in front of me. I've been scouring what MSNBC says versus what Fox News says versus what CNN says. I mean, it was clearly a disruptive event. And, you know, there have been obviously different portrayals about how much blame President Trump should get for all this, and obviously competing narratives about whether he should now be impeached and convicted, whether the Vice President Pence should have invoked the 25th Amendment. You know, people are going to have their opinions, but the one thing that is certainly common, it was a shocking event that never should have occurred, and the people who went in there and perpetrated these acts should be apprehended and punished to the fullest extent of the law.
Is the fact that it was, you know, I've seen other people compare the riots that would have taken place last summer, you know, potentially vandalizing private businesses versus a public building, one of the most prominent public buildings, certainly in our country. Does that change the legal reaction that these individuals will face for having perpetrated these events because it is on public grounds? I see some people, I think that they are a little off their rocker by believing so, thinking that there is an entitlement to the house because it's the people's house. And comparatively speaking, when you're going in and you know, breaking the glass and looting a private business, that that is somehow different. How does that resonate legally?
Well, both are horrible. You know, yes, it's the people's house, and that people can go in under normal circumstances and pass through magnetometers and make appointments and, you know, get meetings with congressmen or their staffers to redress their grievances, whatever they are. But just because it is the people's house doesn't mean that they can go through barricades, smash windows, attack Capitol police officers, threaten the lives of congressmen and senators and the vice president, all of whom were in the Capitol at the time. And that takes on, you know, a greater ramification in terms of the threat it poses actually to the, not only to the functioning of our government at that particular moment, but literally you had the vice president, the speaker of the House, and the president pro tempore, the number two, three, and four people in the line of succession in case something happens to the president, in that place at that time where people were being stormed and people had weapons. That is a different level of threat than, say, somebody who breaks in and loots a business in Chicago. It certainly, you know, the latter has a greater effect on the store owner in Chicago, and it certainly disrupts that community. But breaking into the Capitol during a solemn moment like the certification and challenge of the Electoral College vote and putting lives of our elected leaders in jeopardy, not to mention the Capitol police officers, is a magnitude a little bit higher, I would say.
John, let me ask you what may be a little bit of a difficult question, but I figure if anybody's going to know the answer, it would be you, Vice President of Institute for Constitutional Government and Heritage, on the phone with us. People are really trying to politicize this, of course, and compare what happened last Wednesday to everything that happened over the summer, as we've been talking about here a little bit too. The way that they're doing it, though, is saying, well, the FBI is really going after these people, but not these people. Or if you're on the other side, they're going after the people that stormed the Capitol, but not the rioters. Can you quantify that? Is that a thing that you can do and say, no, the FBI has actually been pretty fair, or they are going after one more than the other?
Oh, boy, that's tough to answer. So as I said before, a lot of the crimes that were committed during the riots over the summer were not federal violations. They were state law, criminal law violations. And so while the FBI can certainly assist with investigations, these people are ultimately not subject to federal charges. Now, if they attack federal officers, if they attack a federal facility, if you can prove that they crossed an interstate line with the purpose of organizing and committing a riot, it can lead to federal charges. So there are people who have been charged federally, but most of the crimes that have taken place in these various cities are state law crimes, and federal authorities have been there in more of an assist role. All of the crimes that happened at the nation's capital the other day were not only very serious, but they were all federal crimes. You know, I've heard people's reactions saying that these people were being treated more seriously or less seriously. You know, there are somewhat different circumstances. The riots that took place this summer were more widespread, but you know, you could sort of see it coming. Unfortunately, it appears as if the Capitol Police Force was really unprepared and overwhelmed by the events that happened last Tuesday. And so the reaction to trying to restore order also took on a different way of proceeding, because they were fighting from behind. I mean, you had to get the National Guard called out and FBI SWAT teams deployed on an emergency basis. I think that people were a little bit better prepared for the protests this summer. Unfortunately, they were also widespread, and they went into the night, and there was rioting, and there's only so much that you can do. But law enforcement authorities throughout the summer and certainly last week had their hands full.
John Malcolm, thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate it. Hopefully we do not have to follow up on this with future stories. It seems as though they are preparing for what could be coming in at different state capitals or whatever. I see a lot of this chatter on social media about potential protests that could assemble, but I'm not really seeing it from anybody who's saying you should go to it. I'm just seeing it from a lot of people who are saying don't go to this. So Any expectation that there will be a materialized concern going forward in this,
well, the
in
FBI
this next
is,
week?
The FBI is certainly sounding that alarm and appeared to be focusing on January the 17th. Look, this is a time where people need to restore calm and civility. So, you know, if people want to get out there and protest because they don't like that the president lost, or they don't like the election, or they don't like the fact that the president is going to be impeached, you know, fine, go out and protest, but keep it peaceful.
Peaceful. Yeah, absolutely. John, thank you so much for the time today. We're very grateful for it.
Good to be with you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.